Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 16th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the second Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings to you. I pray you are well in this season. I pray that you continue to strive, even if it's been a struggle. I pray you continue to strive to celebrate these days as a time of reconciliation, of repentance, as a call to find yourself awake and alive in the presence of our good God. And so this is a good place for us to be together, gathered together around God's good word, gathered in prayer and in song and in silence, this thing we call the Beach Church Podcast. So let's go ahead, jump right in and begin the way we begin on the podcast by taking a big, deep breath. Let's do that. Hold on to that breath. Savor that breath. And as you let it go, thank God for that breath. And here's another gift. Another breath. Another moment to be alive, to be together. And as you breathe and say thank you for every breath, call to mind the people and the places and the opportunities and situations that light you up inside, that fill your spirit with joy, the faces of those you love, the places you've been, wonderful moments with wonderful people. Thanks be to God. It's all a gift. And with all of this in mind, our hearts overflowing with thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship. As printed in your digital bulletin, you can find that to the left of where you found today's podcast, just below the line there, that box that says sermon notes. You click in there and it will come up for you. Let's begin. When evil draws near, we will trust in the Lord. Our hearts shall not fear, for we seek refuge in his presence. One thing we ask of the Lord, to dwell in his house all our days. We come to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek his guidance. Let us lift our voices in praise and worship, for the Lord is our strength and our shield. We will sing joyfully to the Lord, our hearts filled with his peace. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We pray that you gather us in, shelter us and protect us as we consider this your good and living word. Protect us, we ask, from misinterpretation and distraction. Help us to hear what it is you're saying to us in this moment. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, here we are. We're joining together on this, the second Sunday in Lent. And I pray over your Lenten experience. Sometimes people refer to it as a journey. Jesus is making a journey to Jerusalem. I suppose Lent can be thought of as our being companions with Jesus on this journey to Jerusalem. But I got to say this morning, this is one of those mornings where I wish I could just invite you all into a room and we could have a cup of coffee and just all go around the table and read portions of this text and listen to one another, how we interpret it. But this format doesn't work that way. So you're stuck with a monologue from me. I love that this transitional feel of the passage we get in the lectionary. Jesus, again, on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus in the season of Lent, even though he wouldn't have called it that, but this road to Jerusalem, which has him encouraging others to pause and really lean in and pay attention. He's doing the healing miracles, and that is for most people why they've come. But when the tummies are filled and when the minds are cured and the withered hand is open, he says to them, "Follow me. Put down your burdens. Sin no more. Understand who it is that healed you and why. What is the kingdom of heaven like? How is it that you can live in this wholeness, this shalom, this place of healing now and forever?" Just before today's reading, we hear a story of Jesus. He's making his way town to town on this preaching and healing tour, if you will, on its way to Jerusalem. Verse 22, we see Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He said to them, and I'm just going to read the first few words of this sentence. He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Let me repeat that. He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." He says that in response to the question, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He doesn't give a number. He doesn't say, yes, only a few people will be saved. He says to the individual, and because we're in the crowd, because Luke invites us into the moment, we can hear it too, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." A sense of connection, of citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, the promises of God have something to do with one's ability to pass through a narrow door. And so to pass through a narrow door, one must not be overly burdened with unnecessary baggage. Travel light. Pay attention to what you're carrying. I think that's just something for us to hold on to as a gift as we consider today's reading. But during this season of Lent, in that perhaps some of the disciplines we engage in during the season of Lent won't end after 40 days. That little by little we'll learn how to travel light so that we might be able to pass through the most narrow of doors. We might be able to endure the most trying of times. We might truly, truly enjoy the times of feast in celebration, because foundationally we are people who have learned to travel light. So just hold that as a gift, not just for today and our consideration of today's reading, but as a gift for this season of Lent. How is it that we might strive to enter through the narrow door? Well, Jesus continues on teaching from that moment. And he says some things that really encourage us to think deeply about who we are and what it means to be a follower in the way of Jesus, what he's done for us, the things that he has done that we could never do, the gift that he gives us, and the encouragement that we find as he encourages us to walk in his way. Okay, with all of that set up, let's go to the beginning of today's reading. At that very hour, as Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, in other places in Scripture, we see Jesus doesn't have this kind of relationship with other Pharisees. We don't know particularly who this group is. And let's take them at their word. They're genuinely concerned about Jesus. They're intrigued by him. They haven't written him off. They're not suspicious of him, as far as we know from this reading. What they do know is the things that he's saying, the movement that seems to be forming around him is dangerous. And it could get him killed. And what he ought to do is stop getting so close to Jerusalem. Stop being in proximity to Herod. Turn and go the other way. Now, maybe if we want to be more suspicious about what they're saying, is what they want him to do is just that. Why don't you go? It would be safer for you and your little band of followers to be out there in the wilderness. Maybe go out where John used to hang out. John, who was killed by Herod. So whatever their motivations, they give Jesus this warning, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus offers them this reply. He said to them, Pharisees, friends, I appreciate what you're saying, but you can give Herod a message for me. Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. That's powerful and earnest and perhaps a little bit confusing. It's affirming of what he said before about what will happen to him when he arrives in Jerusalem, that he'll be arrested and beaten and killed. He knows that. He knows that's coming, but he also knows that that is the fulfillment of the mission. That the only way it breaks loose into the world is on his broken back in Jerusalem. The place where prophets go to die. And I will add the place where perhaps prophecy goes to die. Not all the prophets were killed within the city walls. But in the killing of the prophets was the attempt to kill the prophecy. But the prophecy and the prophets live on, because the names are remembered and the stories are told when they unroll the scroll of Isaiah, when they read Jeremiah, when they read Moses and Elijah. The life and the lament and the words and the warning live. While the world tried to crush them and snuff them out, I can say that, the words live on. Jerusalem, he says, Jerusalem. He laments in this form of lament, this formal repetition of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Matthew Skinner, a New Testament scholar at Luther Seminary, encourages us not to read Jerusalem, Jerusalem as the sum of all each and individual citizen of the city of Jerusalem, but rather to consider Jerusalem as a character in the story, Jerusalem representing a particular kind of personhood, a place that can be absolutely beautiful, the place that is the home to the core and the center of their religious life, the temple, within the temple, the holiest of holies, God's residing place. And yet, in that same holy city, the unspeakable and the unholy, how the prophets come, how the weak are crushed and exploited, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I preach over you and pray over you. I try to bring healing into your walls, and you run. You run from the truth, and you run from the healing, and you seek your own way. The prophets have come and gone. You couldn't bear their words, and in an attempt to shut them up, you killed them. Well, the author of all prophecy, the one who is the living embodiment, the fullest expression of the prophets and the law, Jesus, is on his way to Jerusalem. His desire is to save them all. His desire is to bring them like a mother hen under the shelter of her wings, protecting her little ones from storm and fire and danger. Protecting her little ones from the fox, from the Herods of the world. It might be helpful for us to move it beyond Jerusalem, to hear Jesus say not only Jerusalem, Jerusalem, but London, Paris, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. Woe to you, city centers and capitals, home to the lords of easy money and power. I came to you and I showed you a more excellent way to live, and you ran from me. I showed you the consequences of living with unchecked appetites, ungoverned desires. I showed you the consequences of living with an indifference to the poor and to the suffering of your brothers and sisters. I came to show you a more excellent way to be, but you ran from me for a variety of reasons. The prophets come to the city centers and to the town squares, and they preach a more excellent way to live in the world. And for a variety of reasons, the healing is rejected, the teaching is rejected. Perhaps it is because we've traveled with such burdens. And as we arrive at the narrow gate that the gospel puts in front of us, a truth that says, you carry way too much baggage. This season of Lent encourages us to hear Jesus say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That we can interpret it as, my beloved, I come to you. I offer you a more excellent way. I will shelter you. I will take the consequences of your actions for you if you just come under my wings. If you would just strive to enter through the narrow door. This is Lent. To hear Jesus' invitation, even in the lament, even in the prayer over the city, to hear the invitation, to see the outstretched arms as shelter, as encouragement, and to accept this season not as a time of shame and guilt, but as reconciliation, recalibration, a time for us to sit down with Jesus by our side and all the stuff that we carry. Imagine you're traveling through the airport and you got two overstuffed check-in bags. You've got a shoulder bag and a backpack and a set of golf clubs, and you're trudging your way through the airport and you got to go from gate one to gate 100. And you can't carry all that stuff with you. Put it all out in front of you. What are the things you need to carry? What are the things that you just can't carry on your own? You need somebody else to carry it for you. What are the things that you've packed and you think, why in the world did I pack this? I see that out here on the beach all the time. People come with all these bags, and I think you've got all those bags, and you're going to wear maybe two T-shirts, some swim trunks. You're going to wear the flip-flops, and the rest of it will sit in your suitcase. As you tried to account for every eventuality, but then you realized you couldn't, and you didn't really need to. Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem because he knows he has to, because like this good mother hen, he wants to hold us under the shelter of his wings. He'll protect us from the Herods of the world. And where do we find that protection? The church, as she is true to her mission, is that mother hen in the communities. Where do so many people find comfort and shelter and charity and compassion and education and well-being? Through the missions of the church. Through a body of Christ who is not perfect, but they've learned how to cast off things that don't belong and to share one another's burdens. So in many places, we can be struck when Jesus finishes this passage by saying, "See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" They'll hear the cries of "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord" as Jesus, the mother hen, comes on the back of a donkey through the narrow gate at the back of the city. And he calls us to follow him and to be healed by him. And in this season of Lent, as we seek and we strive to enter through the narrow door, with every burden that we put away, with the garbage that we toss, and then we gather what we have remaining and we tuck it in a little bag that we can sling over our shoulder, and we walk with ease through the narrow door, we find that we're awake and we're alive to the promises of God. And that under the sheltering wings of Jesus, we find comfort and hope and joy and life-giving good news. To which I say, Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you and we pray and we give you thanks. For every good and perfect gift comes from your hand. In this season of Lent, we pray that you would open our eyes and bless our hearts and help us take inventory, take stock of our lives. Help us to review our relationships through your eyes. Help us to go over our finances through your eyes. Help us to evaluate our possessions through your eyes. Help us to take inventory of our homes. Help us to hear what our lives are telling us. And that we would see things and hear things as you would have us to see them and hear them. All this, in a way, I suppose, is a way of confession. We confess the places where we are excessive. We confess the places where we have been stingy. We confess the moments when we've been impulsive. We confess the moments when we've been timid. Help us to sort this and forgive us. Bless our hearts. Anoint us with your forgiveness and grace. Bless us with the courage to accept the promises of our faith, that when we come to you in confession, you forgive us. And we need to walk forward in the joy of that forgiveness. And you know the prayers of our hearts. We pray over our country. We pray over people who are in positions of power and influence. We pray for our friends and neighbors. We pray that you join us at every celebration, meet us in the midst of every new opportunity. Oh God, be with us on the mountaintop and in the valley. And there are the lists that are very specific to each and every one of us, our prayer lists, our lists of joys and concerns. And so we take a moment to be silent in your presence, to hand you our prayer lists, to know that you will read them earnestly, that you'll take every word to heart, and that you'll answer us. And so we come before you in silence and in expectation of a word of blessing from you. We break our silence. Thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Thank you for the ways you answer our prayers. Thank you for the faithful men and women who have come before us, who have preserved for us our sacred stories, our songs, our prayers, our traditions, our rites and rituals. Among all of these things is a gift of a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a new commitment, that we might strive to enter through the narrow door, that in our striving we are not alone, God is with us. Our God, the one that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is indeed with us, blesses us, and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.